Blog Talk Radio.
Each day do you wake up and get out of bed? You got all these feelings rushing round in your head. You got that bout with doubt and neighbors singing the blues. Pick up the paper and it's all bad news. But you know in the end, happiness is your best friend. You can be what you wanna be. Hold dead a step high and live like you're free. I said color, color your life happy. Color, every day you can choose. Color, color your life happy. If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
The difference between try and triumph is a little funky. We all have ups and downs, but you can still be happy. If you're gonna step, you might as well step high.
If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
ColorYourLifeHappy.com. Get your happy on.
Welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, May 18th. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you live from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. We've got a fantastic show for you today. Joining us in a moment for today's episode, Color Your Life Happy, Embracing the Power of Joy, will be Reverend Chanetta Goodjoin, pastor of New Hope Presbyterian in Orange, California. Hi there, Reverend Chanetta.
Well, hello there. How are you?
Great. I want to welcome all of my listeners. I'm so honored that you all carved out time in your schedule to join us. I encourage you to participate by asking questions or adding comments. If you're on the phone line, just press a 1 to let me know that you have a question or a comment. If you're on the web chat, just type in your question or comments, and I'll be able to see them down there in the little bar where it says styled, and then click send, and I can read your questions or comments on the air. Let me remind you that the show is live, so that means anything can happen. Lost signals is one of the most common things that happens. If your call is suddenly lost, just dial in again at 347-539-5700. And don't worry about missing anything, because all the shows are recorded and available for you later under on-demand episodes on my show page. I'm an author, coach, inspirational speaker, and consultant. I'm also a mom of 4 and grandma of 3, recently retired after 40 years of teaching junior high through university levels, the last 20 of which I taught critical thinking. If you haven't already done so, I want you to visit my website, ColorYourLifeHappy.com, where now you can invest in my book, Color Your Life Happy, for a special pre-release price. It is full of stories, tips, activities that will all speak to your inner desire to get the life you want and deserve. If you go over there and make your order now before the book comes off the presses in June, you'll get that special price. On the radio show today, and always, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. So to do that, each week I interview guests from fields such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change and adversity, all of the things that contribute to lasting happiness. Well, let's get to the amazing show we have for you today. Hi, Reverend Chanetta again.
Yes, hi.
Welcome. Before I begin my interview, I want to tell our listeners a bit about you, okay?
Okay.
All right. Reverend Chanetta Goodjoin grew up in Gaffney, South Carolina, where she was active in her church as a youth leader, liturgist, and elder. She did not realize at the time that her call to the ministry was being nurtured. I'm sure that's probably happened to many ministers, don't realize that. Prior to being called to the seminary, Reverend Goodjoin was a speech-language pathologist for Gwinnett County Schools in Georgia and Cherokee County Schools in South Carolina. Reverend Goodjoin has a Bachelor of Arts degree and Master's of Arts degree in speech-language pathology from South Carolina State University. Reverend Goodjoin received a Master of Divinity degree from Johnson C. Smith Seminary of Interdenominational Theological Seminary in Atlanta, Georgia. Upon graduating, she received the call to serve as Associate Pastor of Knox Presbyterian Church in Los Angeles, California. After 2 years of service there at Knox, Reverend Goodjoin was invited to organize a new Presbyterian church in Orange County, California. She accepted this call and is currently serving as an organizing pastor of New Hope Presbyterian Church in the city of Orange, which is in Orange County, California. Within the first 8 months of this ministry, Reverend Goodjoin has organized a thriving weekly Bible study, monthly worship with an average of 110 people in attendance, 7 functioning ministry teams, and a support system within her core group of supporters. Her husband, Reginald Goodjoin, is the music director for New Hope. He's established a 5-piece praise band, Orange Praise Ensemble, which plays at each service. Reverend Goodjoin gives all the praise to God when she said, "None of what we have witnessed in such a short period of time could have happened without a complete dependence on God to lead and guide. We must give God the glory in and out of season." Reverend Goodjoin has preached nationwide, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, and she has won several preaching awards. Her sermon, At the Feet of Jesus, is published in the African American Pulpit magazine. She has a storytelling preaching style that is set on a foundation of faith and trust in God Almighty. Reverend Goodjoin believes in the power of Romans 12:2, which states, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Welcome, Reverend Chinetta. So good to have you on the show today, and I'm looking forward to your making it clear to us, first of all, the distinction between happiness and joy, because we sometimes use those terms interchangeably. So let's get started with that.
Okay. Well, you know, I think that we do use the terms together oftentimes because, in my opinion, they're cousins.
Okay.
They are related to each other in a lot of ways. However, I think there is a distinction between happiness and joy. While they both include elation, a sense of pleasure, I think oftentimes happiness for a lot of people is based upon external circumstances, things that happen to you. You feel lucky, you feel good today because everything went correctly in your life or what have you. And yet, joy encompasses happiness. Joy encompasses hope. It encompasses sorrow. Joy is, to me, is faith and peace unfolded upon all of your circumstances. So you can have this depth of a sense of well-being when all is not well. It makes happiness fleeting to some degree. You see, I used to hear people back home say, "This joy I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away." And for a long time, I didn't understand what they meant by that, because you are where you are, and I was a pretty happy person until the rough times came. And I would be around people who seemed to have a peace, kind of like a peace like a river during torrential rains in their lives. And I couldn't understand it, but I guess you have to grow into that kind of faith and into that kind of wisdom so that you can come to see that this joy encompasses the happiness that you have as well as sadness that's inevitable in anybody's life. So that's the distinction that I take between the two. I think joy is pretty powerful. Hello?
Hello?
Hello there.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Hi.
Looks like I lost everybody for a minute. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. No problem.
I didn't know if it was me or you, but I think my metal headset did its own thing for a minute.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay. Not a problem.
I was just reemphasizing what you said about the difference between happiness and joy.
Yes.
And because I just wrote a book about happiness, what I tried to do with my definition of happiness was
mm-hmm.
to make it broad enough to include inner joy.
Yes.
But I
yes.
think that many people do perceive it as something that is fleeting. And I was, you know, wanting to have it be conceived as something you can enjoy on a continuous basis. But that inner joy is an important concept because it's deep and can't be touched by what's
right.
going on outside.
Definitely, definitely. And in my conversations with you, I have, and in the book itself, I think that you capture that very well. And you actually live it, so.
Well, I try to live it.
Well, I feel that way just based upon the way in which I see you you moving and living into your passion and finding a way to stay so positive.
Thank you. Thank
life.
You. Do you think that the theology of joy can guide our perspective about life in general?
Yes, I do. And I think that's what we were just talking about. It truly is. I don't know that we can create that kind of inner joy, but we can have a depth of faith that takes us to a place of peace
mm-hmm.
in the midst of our storms, in the midst of our challenges, and we will always have one challenge or another. So being able to go down to that place and
mm-hmm.
rise up and,
mm-hmm.
and come to see that, you know, the world's not going to capsize and just take us over. I really do think it's a perspective and having a presence of the Spirit in your life at all times that can really, really help us on this journey that is not always predictable and not always always easy.
No, that's one thing we can count on for sure, that it won't
yes.
be easy and it won't
be
smooth.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Yes.
Now, what do you know now that you didn't know 10 years ago about this whole process? What do you know now?
Oh, gosh, I know so much more, and I look forward to the newness of unfolding within the next 10 to 20 years. But one of the things that there's a Lebanese artist, poet, his name is Khalil Gibran. And
oh, yeah.
Yes, yes. And he talks about joy and sorrow. And what I have come to discover is that we can't make anybody happy.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to meet people right where we are and be with them and exist with them. And maybe joy can be cultivated out of just the presence of the Spirit
mm-hmm.
that goes from one person to another. When I was
mm-hmm.
doing my chaplaincy, for instance, one of the things that I was criticized for, believe it or not, when I was a chaplain at a hospital in Georgia, it was my first semester there, and I was criticized for being too happy all the time. I'd get written up for it. I'd get talked to on my way in. we don't need to be happy today, okay? And that would confuse me.
Yeah, that is confusing.
It is very confusing. But and actually, the truth of the matter is, I was told not to go back on the third floor where it was the people were dealing with depression,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of psychiatrists were on that floor, and they asked me not to come back because I was too happy. And
mm-hmm.
what I came to learn is that people want you present, and there's a preciousness to silence
mm-hmm.
and just being with someone right where they are and not trying to create the rainbows for them. If someone is in the throes of cancer or you know, they're in a hospital. So
mm-hmm.
sometimes you just your presence, just the touch of a hand,
mm-hmm.
a simple expression of I'm here for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in other words, not trying to make them, not trying to impose anything.
That's exactly right. And,
from outside.
Right, and not trying to impose this whole concept of I will come in with my balloons and smiley faces and you will be happy today. Because oftentimes they would be happy in that moment,
mm-hmm.
but as soon as you leave, that doesn't necessarily stay with the person. And so there is you take a person to a different sense of peace when
mm-hmm.
you just say, I'm here. How can
And you acknowledge what they are suffering.
That's exactly right.
And don't pretend that it's not there.
That's it 100%. I noticed that through my own father's sickness. When he was diagnosed with a brain tumor, he systematically lost all of his functioning, from
mm-hmm.
his ability to walk to his eyesight to being able to hear. And
wow.
Yeah. And what I would find is that, and this is when I really started to encounter differences between happiness and joy,
mm-hmm.
I would always be happy to see him.
Mm-hmm.
But I came to find that I would get so discouraged by
mm-hmm.
the newness or the person that I no longer existed. And I'm with a different person because he can't walk
mm-hmm.
anymore. And it finally occurred to me, before he died, that I should just meet him where he is
mm-hmm.
instead of pining away for who he was.
Yes.
But there can still be some wonderful times if I will embrace him in the here and now. So
right.
When he lost his ability to see, I would go be with him and I would be his eye. And I would put him in the wheelchair, and we'd go in the backyard and through the neighborhood, and I would describe everything in vivid technicolor. and we communicated.
Mm-hmm.
And it was wonderful. And it gave me a sense of peace, and I believe that he had a sense of peace because he was being related to on his terms and not
right.
my terms. It makes
right.
a big difference. And when he lost his ability to hear, okay, well, then we will touch all the more. And he would touch, and we would communicate. And it gave, I know that there was just something joyous, something
wow.
faith-filled about the sacredness of the opportunity to still relate and
mm-hmm.
to have God at the center of all of this.
Wow.
So that when eventually, of course, he passed away, I can't say that I was filled with sadness, there was great joy in what God had done between us and for his life.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's what I've, that culminating of 10 years of experiences, because, you know, I'd say from birth up until about 18 or 19, I lived a pretty charmed, happy life as far as I knew.
Mm-hmm.
But the real stuff starts to happen. At least that was the case for me. And
yeah.
So you have to go to find another source of strength, and that comes
mm-hmm.
from a faith journey that truly began,
mm-hmm.
I think, for me at that time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Real things start.
I have another question in mind. Is everlasting joy a state of mind? or do you see it as a state of heart?
I personally see it as a state of the soul.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is, I don't know that we can. We live, and things happen in life, right?
Yes, very definitely.
I say that every day, I'm just filled with joy. If every day I am in prayer, I am following my devotion, I do believe that I can rejoice in the Lord always, and have a sense of peace about whatever happens. Now, in my humanness, I forget that when I'm in the moment of stuff. If I take the time out to just go back to that place and realize what I've been brought through, and realize that the people who came before me, my ancestors, and I have all of these wonderful role models who have faced many, many challenges. If I look at that and realize that we are truly more than conquerors, Christ is continuing to strengthen us day by day, it becomes a perspective and a state of our soul on how we handle the things that that we encounter. And it makes joy attainable and quite often, Flora, misunderstood.
Yes.
Because how can you, you know, I talk to people and I say, how are you so joyous and you just found out that your house is going into foreclosure? Where does this come from? Or I meet people who seem to just live in this place, and it seems awkward to me at times, and yet I'm inspired by it. And I know that this is the depth of their walk of faith, that they can still laugh and seek the beauty of life in the midst of ugliness.
Yeah, it helps me a lot to think about what you said earlier about being a human. I think if we keep remembering that we're human,
that's right,
and yet we're spirit also, then we'll understand why we're trapped in this human body and having human experiences. So that's why we lose faith, and that's why we get bent out of shape at first about whatever's happening in the world. But if we go back to our spirit and our soul, that's where the joy can last,
and where
it's dwelling. Yeah. Oh, I see a caller on the line. Could I take a moment and ask this caller to? Okay, hold on. Let's see if we can get this caller in. Hello there, caller.
Hello there, beautiful ladies. Is that a gentleman allowed?
I guess we'll allow a gentleman. Tell us your name and where you're from.
My name is Andreas, and the accent here is Greek. And I enjoy your conversation very much. And a little bit of my philosophical input, I guess, being Greek, you always have this critical mind. I see a joy, like all of you would have said, or not bliss, or there is a river of whatever you want to call it. There's a lot of words there that lives in the depths. That lives in the depths of us. But also, I just don't see people who are selling, and I don't think you do, both of you individuals, both of you ladies, are selling the concept. But there's a lot of people make a lot of money with the expectation that you be somehow, you can be Buddha-like all the time, smiling, and your emotional world, it will be full of no clouds. I see, when I look at Martin Luther King or Christ or others, other spiritual, I see people that times have this holy sense of unrest, or even, you know, at times pissed off. When I think of Christ, I don't see somebody that constantly smiling like Zig Ziglar, Anthony Robbins.
Yes.
I don't even make sense to you, but
it does when you said like
so, and even in Martin Luther King, regardless of how peaceful the gentleman was, and you can see a sense of peace in his mind.
He
was at times pissed off, and excuse my expression, just like Christ or a lot of people who face AIDS or face bad diseases or injustice. When they see, you know, society. So it's not natural for human beings to be in bliss when bad things happen.
Exactly.
And the only way for us to change the world is not to make peace. I have a chapter in my book. It's called Take an Enemy and Take a Life. And and what I'm saying by that, and I don't mean to take on enemies that create a hate and envy and jealousy and killing and genocides. I'm just trying to say, as human beings, we're here to make it a better world, and we're not doing that by trying to manufacture or think in a happiness-promote way all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because the mind, and the rational mind especially, has an ability to make anything out of everything in life. If we are pissed off about certain things, and that's how we push the envelope of God's kingdom to become better, is this feeling of nice and creative inner unrest, even unhappiness, So I think you could take it from here and tell me if I make some kind of input or not.
Thank you so much. It was throughout the Bible you could see people who struggled who also had the words of encouragement that take us to that place of peace. I mean, Paul was in prison. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into a fiery furnace, but they went to a place of faith that allowed them to be sustained in the midst of all of the ugliness that's in the world. I think we make joy that encompasses happiness very shallow if we think that it does not have a sister to it called sorrow. One of the things that I like about Khalil Gibran is that in his poem, I think it was called Joy and Sorrow, he said, the deeper the sorrow, the deeper that sorrow carves into your being, the more joy you can contain. Is it not the cup that holds the wine, the very cup that was burned in the potter's oven? Is it not the lute that soothes your spirit? Is that not the very wood that was hollowed into by a knife? So from out of our situations, there still is a place.
Absolutely. I totally agree. Yeah. But also, and again, it's a natural thing for human beings. You know, what Khalil said, and actually, I don't know, he died years ago, and I know his books. I know his books. I know his cousin actually in Boston and all that stuff. And he is an exceptional man. Even death can give us a sense of appreciation about life and can remind us how sweet life can be. There is a duality, there is a mysticism in the world. But, just a sorrow or the salt makes the sugar sound, is sweet.
That's
and bitter
right.
when you put salt with sugar.
That's right.
But also, I'm just saying that there are some things that human beings cannot make peace just as injustice, extreme pain, suffering, malaria that took 500 million people, AIDS, And I cannot see much happiness in genocide, whatever it comes from Hitler or Stalin or in Ethiopia. I cannot put a spin in it. I don't think that that Christ did put in spin when he kicked in a table up in the air where there was a full of coins and all these people around. He could have said, well, there's a silver lining somewhere. And I'm not promoting self-righteousness because self-righteousness can take us down to wars and killings and persecutions. Everybody's righteous. But in general, as a human beings, although the bliss remains and although we can manufacture happiness and all of us can philosophize in any one given situation, I say, well, I'm not as sick, I'm not as old. Thank God, you can watch the 6 o'clock news and feel extremely happy because you're not as bad and sick about other people. But still there are some things that pisses us off, just like Martin Luther King.
Yes. Oh, definitely.
And, some things that naturally they don't go well, extreme situations, extreme Lou Gehrig's disease. I don't know, how can I be inspired?
right.
Well, you mentioned you wrote a book. What's the title of your book?
Well, I have quite a few. That's the thing. The title is called Dream Thinking, and it's telling you
Dream
that.
Dream Thinking. Okay.
That in order to go forward in life, you have to do both, dream and think in the same time. Some people want to inspire only, be happy only, wish the best, dream, have heroes, but that's not good enough. I give you an example of what my book is all about in general. Any goal that you want to go into, let's say you want to go to the moon, you got to dream of getting there, dream beyond what is possible, but also you got to think of how to build the rocket.
Yes.
If you don't think of how to put the chemicals together and produce the alloys that get you there, the action that produces the results, no matter how much you dream, how much you win. And today people are doing all this dreaming pushed by a lot of people. I don't want to put anybody down because I don't want to put myself up that I got all the answers. But I'm just saying that unless we marry both of those concepts, the more effective.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yes. What you're saying reminds me of a quote from Freud, actually, which I don't remember word for word, but something to the effect that nothing has happened in this world that wasn't dreamed about first. In other words, he was saying that all of the accomplishments and so forth were thoughts and dreams in someone's mind, in fiction, as a matter of fact, before they became reality over in the real world. And, you know, long before we had space flight, we had all kinds of fiction about space flight. We had 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, so we had people exploring the ocean in fiction before they were actually doing it in life.
You know, that's how we always were. Works. And apologize for cutting the phone, the beautiful lady. But that's how things are. But we got to introduce knowledge of how to get there, you know?
Exactly.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But
thank
you're
you
beautiful,
so much
both of you.
That.
I'm sorry?
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're very insightful, and you're right on target. We're talking about the same thing.
Yes.
All of us are, you know, are saying a little different, but most of the wisdom has been here before. And our ego wants to make it authentic that we are the ones and we're the greatest. But I think that you're doing a wonderful, wonderful job. And
thank
the
you
next
so
time
much.
You hear my ugly voice when the book comes up, you know that is your friend Andreas the Greek.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Bye bye, ladies.
In.
Have
thank
a good
you.
Day.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Thank you. Okay. I wanted to get back to something he just said about the suffering. Joy, does joy include suffering and challenge? Because sometimes I think people get discouraged and bent out of shape when they're seeking joy and then discover that bad things are still going to happen, they're still going to be challenged, and they may actually have to suffer in real ways. How does suffering challenge, how do those fit in with joy?
I think that our friend who was just on the
Andrea.
Air was, yes, he was hitting exactly on that we cannot deny the reality of suffering in the world. It is there. It is present.
Mm-hmm.
And from out of that suffering, you know, the peace that we see in great leaders, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Martin Luther King, Gandhi, the peace that they sought came out of the suffering that they were going through. And that peace should, in my opinion, or can be manifested into a joy that is not understandable, that is oftentimes not even explainable. When I even think about my own ancestors who dealt with the hardships, the terribleness of slavery, and yet they would go down into the brush and sing songs of rejoicing. It was a way in which to overcome, a soulful way of overcoming that which could not oftentimes be changed. We see so much in the world today. And you're right. I talk to people all the time who I wouldn't dare tell them there's still joy in the midst of what you're going through right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's still joy because that would make me seem shallow and detached from the reality of their pain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so where does the joy come in? For me, the potential for joy is always there when you walk with that person. When you do not deny the reality of what they are going through, and you just, as I told someone the other day, I can be with you, to be in your presence, to walk with you, can over time manifest itself in a sense of peace and security and mutual regard that can result in, if you allow that walk to take you into the place of faith, joy that you can't explain. But, you know, my own joy, definitely, I know the joy I have comes right out of, it's like off the shoot of the suffering that I've faced.
Sure.
So that my suffering becomes my testimony, and my testimony becomes my place of faith, and my faith manifests itself in a joy that is oftentimes hard for me to explain, but only to experience. I find it quite powerful, and I'm still striving for it because I'm not always there.
Well, I don't think any of us are always there. But you know what you're reminding me of?
What's that?
When you talk to people and ask them to share the happiest times in their lives, ask them to share some memory, they almost always tell you about a time where they were having hardship and where they overcame that hardship. I've heard so many people talk about the happiest times was when we were living in one room and didn't even have a refrigerator, you know, just sharing some of how they were resourceful and how much they enjoyed. And I think part of the enjoyment of that in our humanness is the absence of a lot of stuff.
That's right.
Because one of the first things they tell you to do, you want to get happier, is declutter. If you declutter your physical environment, it makes a difference in your whole, your spirit and your mental thinking. And I think that's part of why people probably experience some joy when they look back or remember happiness.
Right.
Even though we're all striving for the big house and the picket fence, when they think back when they didn't have a pot to you-know-what in, they tend to say, wow, those were really happy times.
Those were happy times for me. Because I think it also goes back to, the character that's being built in a person comes back to those very basic fundamental, foundational things. That help us to survive, but also give us a sense of the ability to strive in spite of and from out of that. But you know, quite often it's a reflective thing because when we're in the midst of it, I don't think that we can see it that way.
I don't think so.
It takes prayer and reflection and meditation to come to that place of faith. It has to be faith.
Now, who do you know? Do you know someone who you think lives their life in which joy is reflected in their character and the way they handle life?
I do. I know two people, actually. One lady, her name is Edith, and I am so inspired by her presence. She's not a loud person, and she's not one that runs around with happy signs, but she has a piece about her that's reflected in the way in which she views life. She's dealt with a lot of things, and I won't say her situation over the air because she might be listening, but and I didn't get permission, but I've seen her deal with an ailing husband, her own sickness, some real hard, challenging things. And yet, in spite of it all, her faith is solid. Her perspective on life and the things that she's dealing with, I find that she becomes the encouraging one when you go to encourage her. Because it's so deeply invested in this soul place called joy and peace. So the last time I was with her at the hospital, she was at the hospital. You know, under most circumstances, I would think that a person would not be as her outlook was just amazing to me.
Wow.
And she's always like this. And I don't. And it, there's no way that it could be a front. It is truly.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean that she doesn't struggle. I think she struggles
sure.
to be there. But I
mm-hmm.
think she has just grown into a place of faith that she stays there.
Mm-hmm.
And I grow from her and gain from her in what she does. Yeah. Yeah. But oftentimes,
wow.
as a pastor, I don't encounter people who are filled with a whole lot of joy. I encounter people who are dealing with life and wanting to attain it and have it and capture it, but are not able to keep it and walk with that kind of joy for their lives. It makes the worship experience quite interesting to me in the
mm-hmm.
sense that I don't want people to come into worship and have a moment or a time of rejoicing
mm-hmm.
that they can't take out the door and make it a part of the rejoicing for the journey. Because
right.
if you can't carry it on out, then what has been the full purpose of being there? Because, you know, does worship become temporary, rested from the world? Well, you got to go back out into the world. Will you take that with you?
Mm-hmm.
That's the point of worship. But we're all struggling, and nobody's perfect, you know.
Yeah, I think of this inner joy almost as a place or a point that we can go back to, because
yes.
when you hear the expression bounce back from adversity,
mm-hmm.
if you're bouncing back, that implies that there was somewhere you were before
that's right.
that was joyful and peaceful.
Sure.
So I see it as a what they call in the literature a set point. There's a certain point or a certain place within
yes.
that you can go back to. And I think that we can nurture and acknowledge that by a number of things that we do in this world, most of which don't cost any money.
Yes, indeed, you're right.
And that is like when you're going to church and you're worshiping,
mm-hmm.
and even in the silence of the worship or in the quietness of the music
yeah.
or in gratitude, just being, when I go for my daily walks, I'm thanking God for all the things I have in my life, that I can just walk, that I have the ability to walk, and for the area, the nature, and the just so many beautiful things. And I think gratitude is one of those things that is most underappreciated as a source of joy.
Yeah. You know, it's a bouncing back and also a pressing forward and
mm-hmm,
pressing
mm-hmm.
deeper within ourselves to come to that place of accepting things that we cannot change.
Dying
to self, that's another part of this whole, you know, trying to attain this inner peace, which I think is manifested in a joy that oftentimes, as I said, is not explainable. I
sure.
can give you an example of what I mean by the pressing forward and dying to self in order to gain a new depth of joy. When I was pregnant with my daughter, I desired to hear her heartbeat, but I was only able to hear her heartbeat when I went to the doctor. And I wanted to hear her heartbeat when I woke up in the morning or when I felt her kicking and moving around. And so I had a friend of mine, Angie, who gave me a stethoscope.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me, she said, you can use this, and she said, you're advanced enough now that you should be able to hear the baby's heartbeat. And I said, okay, great. And so every morning I was getting up and I was listening to my baby's heartbeat, and I felt like I was filled with joy. It was a wonderful
mm-hmm.
thing. I would talk to the baby and listen to just listen to the heartbeat. And I must have been doing that for maybe two and a half weeks, and
mm-hmm.
my friend was at my house. And she said, so how's it going with the heartbeat? And I said, it's wonderful. And she said, well, what does this sound like? I said, well, it sounds like this. It sounds like boom, 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 boom. And she said, I hate to tell you this, but you've been listening to your own heartbeat and taking flight in it. Like, no. If you want to hear the new heartbeat in you, you're going to have to press a little harder. And you're going to have to go into a quiet place and listen.
Wow.
And be able to receive this newness.
Mm.
And that's what I did. I went into a quiet place, and I pressed. I pressed hard, and I couldn't find it. For you know, it didn't happen immediately. I just had to keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, I heard it, and it was a new heartbeat. It was more like do 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 do.
It was
really
faster,
fast, full of energy.
Wow.
And I experienced a different kind of revelation, a different kind of joy, just from being able to know that I had to just die to myself. I could not take delight in my own.
No.
But that I was taking delight in something new that was happening in me. And even at the same time that I was dealing with organizing a new church. Having this high-risk pregnancy. So I was not without worries and fears and all kinds of stuff. But therein was this newness, of life, a new heartbeat that required me to go into a place of quietness and silence in order to receive it. And I think that it's like a metaphor for our lives. That's pretty powerful, I would say.
I think that is so powerful and so meaningful for our lives, what the story you just shared, the whole concept of having to go deep within and get quiet in order to hear the new growth, the creativity, the spark of whatever is growing inside of us, our purpose, our mission. And so many of us are afraid of going deep, listening, and really hearing that. So we settle for listening to our own heartbeat, because it's easier to hear. It's on the surface, and until we go deeper within, whether it's through prayer, through meditation, through just getting quiet, we're not going to be able to hear that new growth, that new thing that's trying to be born.
Trying to be born within.
Within
and
us.
That's exactly right. I know you're right.
Now, what brings you joy? I know one thing that brings you joy, of course. But what would you name as the thing that brings you joy in this world?
Well, yes, of course, Nyla, my daughter, brings me great joy on so many levels. And I think that what brings me joy is changing so... being, of course, for me, being in a new relationship with Christ brings me a joy that it almost leaves me speechless. I don't even have the words to describe it. But relating to people, as I've said before, right where they are, and for me recognizing that and really feeling like I don't have to have all the answers are the resources to resolve issues that are out of my control, but be able to live into the issue and come out of the issue, maybe scarred, but still working to be whole. The process of the journey is beginning to bring me a sense of joy and peace. I look forward to seeing what the next 10 years will be like as I step into new understanding on another level. What brings me joy also is going to the beach. Brings me a lot of great joy. Reading my favorite novel or just any old magazine that I want to pick up and read. I get a sense of joy. But as I go deeper into my own ministry, it seems that my joy comes from the relationships that God is building not just mm-hmm. within the church, but in the community. I get a great, mm-hmm. great deal of joy out of the evangelism, the reaching out, and people touching my life while I touch their lives. And I get joy about the future. One of the mm-hmm. things that I really want to do within the church setting is to be a vehicle for change. I want to create opportunities for people to grow. It brings me joy to envision us having a job fair. It brings me joy to envision us feeding the homeless. It brings me a sense of just great elation to think mm-hmm. that we can touch people in that way. And God will give us the capacity to do so. That's where my joy is coming from. Now, if you had asked me 20 years ago, it probably would have been, we could just go to Disneyland. I would be happy. Do it.
That's why they took down that sign, the happiest place on earth. They had to rethink that. In a moment, I want you to tell me about your You Matter ministry. But we have a caller on the line. I'm going to open the line and get this caller to give us their question or comment. So hold on.
Okay.
Hello, caller. Would you tell us your name and where you're calling from?
Yeah, Dr. Brown. My name is Kim. I'm Janetta's brother, calling from Charlotte,
Hi.
North Carolina.
Hello.
Hey there. Welcome. Welcome.
Welcome. Yeah, she told me she was going to be on, and I just wanted to make sure that she knew. And her mother, tell her mother was listening for a while by phone.
Well, she can hear you.
Yeah, yeah. I was just wondering, one question I had was, how do you get people to you all's level of thinking when it comes to joy?
When you say, repeat your question, how do you get people to what?
How do you get people to you all's level of thinking when it comes to joy?
Oh, okay. You want to take that,
sure.
Reverend Janetta?
Sure. Hello, Kim.
Hello there.
I think that it's all about what we've talked about earlier, is being with people where they are, where they exist in the moment. If you walk with a person on their journey and you maintain your character and you're consistent in your prayers, you're consistent in the way in which you live with that person, I think that it opens the door for the person to live into, so that you're not trying to just give them theory and theology, but you're living it, so that they come to recognize it not only as a part of your life, but something that they can encompass in the way in which God is in them. And so I think it's a process. It's definitely not a tool for which you can just make someone capture. So it's a process of character. One of the things that I liked about Barack Obama was that no matter what slings and arrows were thrown with him, he seemed to have maintained a certain character throughout his election.
Yes.
And I really appreciated that, because you could come to depend upon it. You could come to trust in it. And I think that we as pastors, teachers, leaders must establish a sense of trust and security with the people who God puts in our lives. And it goes from the blackboard to the board walk, if you will, because we have to walk that walk. And in walking that walk, we become the living example for those who are suffering. And we let them, if we could dare to be so transparent as to say, yeah, I'm suffering too. Yes, I'm hurting too. And yes, we can still have some laughter in our lives. And yes, I can bring you into my sense of joy in the midst of this storm, because heaven knows I've been inspired by people who have done that as they've walked with me. And I think we just have to give it back.
One thing I wanted to add in there, or have you really to go into just a little bit, we have about 4 minutes left, is Kim, when you asked your question, you said, how can you, I think you said, make people come into where we are, and I think we can't make people, but people want to be heard, they want to be acknowledged, many times, Reverend Janetta, you mentioned this earlier about them not wanting you on the ward with the seriously sick. People want their pain to be acknowledged. It's like when someone is angry at you, of course they're angry at something else, but they're directing it at you. The first thing to do is to acknowledge they are angry. They're upset. And to tell them, don't be angry, or try to dismiss the fact that they're angry is a waste of time. As soon as you acknowledge that they're angry, you've already diffused some of it because you've acknowledged that's what they're feeling, whether you think it's right or not. And
right.
I think with other people, we all crave attention. We all crave validation. And this gets me around to the You Matter ministry. One of the beautiful things about New Hope is Reverend Chinetta's insistence on having each person who attends, member or not, to know that they matter. And I think that this will help people get to that sense of joy when they begin to accept. At first, they're not going to believe it.
Right.
If they are so devastated by what has happened in their lives, they're not going to believe you when you say, you matter to me. But that doesn't mean we can't keep saying it and getting them to the point where eventually, if they keep hearing it, or even if they don't hear it, if they come one time, they leave, and it's still in the back of their head, wow, they said I matter. Could that really be true, that I matter? That thought, when it takes hold, then that person is moving toward some joy. So I think the You Matter ministry is one of the things that will definitely lead to it. Do you want to explain your You Matter ministry?
Well, I think you've explained it very well. And I was just going to add to that one brief thing is that we just don't tell people they matter. We tell them why they matter. So that it goes beyond just that blanket statement. And we also work hard not to talk in what I call Christianese. You just need to have faith. You just need to, you just need to rely on the blood.
Telling them why.
Uh-oh,
we have about 90 minutes left. Seconds left to our show. I'm so sorry. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Reverend Chinetta, for being here. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Seems like that was a short hour.
I am telling you.
I want everyone to join me again next Monday, May 25th at 11 a.m., my guest will be Dr. Patricia Nan Anderson. She's the author of Parenting, a Field Guide. Her topic will be Color Your Life Happy, Being Happy with Your Kids. I'm your host, Flora Brown of Color Your Life Happy, the radio show designed to help you uncover the joy you deserve. I'm coming to you live from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m., and I'm going to ask all of you to have a blessed week. Thank you again, Reverend Chinetta. If you're ever in the city of Orange in California, you definitely want to look up New Hope Presbyterian Church and come over and find out why you matter. Have a blessed week, and remember to color your life happy.
Color Your Life Happy.com.